Good afternoon, everyone. I am Megan Miller. I am with the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, or ASTO, as we call it. I have no relationships to disclose. So I'm here to talk to you today about ASTO's State Health Agency Payment and Delivery Reform Technical Assistance Needs Survey. We did this survey as part of our work with CDC. And so to give you a bit of background first, as part of our ASTO's five-year cooperative agreement, we have a small component of money that supports this state health officials, state health agencies, and work on the state innovation model initiative as well as other payment and delivery reform activities. So in last year, in our second year of our grant, we issued this survey. So first I'm going to talk a little bit about the state innovation model initiative and what it is, and that's what you'll see here on this slide. So the state innovation models initiative is offered through the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid. It's designed to support states in the development and testing of state-based models for multi-payer payment and healthcare delivery system transformation. So the ultimate goal of this initiative is improving health system performance for residents of states taking part in the program. There have been two rounds of these grants, round one and round two, and we'll talk more about the survey in a second, but to note, we actually issued the survey before round two SIM awardees were announced. Other things I'd highlight about the State Innovation Model Initiative, round two had a special focus on states developing a population health improvement plan. And also to note that including the round two awardees and the six round one model test states, there are now over half of states representing 61% of the U.S. population will now be working in efforts to support comprehensive state-based innovations in health system transformation. So as part of our second year of our CDC cooperative agreement, we decided that we would issue a survey to the state health agencies to try to better understand the work that they had done related to the state innovation model grants, as well as other work that they'd done in payment and delivery reform initiatives, so we could try to get a baseline understanding of what they were doing, the kind of technical assistance they'd received, and what they felt like would be helpful for them in the future for their work. We issued the survey online via Qualtrics, and it was issued in July, August of 2014. I think the survey closed just in the beginning of September in 2014. So the survey participants, we had 43 state and territorial health agencies who responded. That represented a response rate of approximately 70%. And in the survey, we asked who had a SIM grant and who did not have a SIM grant, and 24 of our states said they did and 19 did not. And at the time, as I mentioned, we issued this before SIM round two was announced in December of 2014. So the SIM, at the time we asked, who was planning to apply for a SIM round two grant. So we had 28 states who said they were planning to apply to SIM round two, 15 states who said that they were not. So some of the lessons that we learned from our survey, or not the lessons, but some of the things we learned from the actual survey. So initially we asked about the state's engagement in payment and delivery reform initiatives. So what you can see on this slide is the response that we received from the states and the type of reform initiatives that they were involved in. And this is across the SIM states and the non-SIM states. So we had 11 states that indicated that they were engaged in some way in payment or delivery reform initiatives in their states. We had 8 states that said they weren't engaged in any type of the initiatives. And we had 24 states that indicated that the state health agency was very actively involved, and that means they were possibly a membership of leadership teams in reform activities in their state. For both SIM and non-SIP states involved in payment and delivery initiatives, they specified the type of reform initiatives their state was undertaking. For example, and you probably can't see it, but they would say major overhaul of the payment system or major overhaul of the delivery system, partial adaptation of the payment system, partial adaptation of the delivery system, or limited pilots in Medicaid or other state-run efforts. The reform activities that states then indicated that they were undertaking included episode-based payments, moving to capitation away from fee-for-service, establishing regional care organizations, patient-centered medical homes, accountable care organization payment models, behavioral health homes, telehealth, and integrated clinical community health efforts, to name a few. Some of the most common successes that were actually noted by the states in terms of their state reform activities were formalized partnerships and increased resources to support activities. And this also included past legislation and regulations to support system changes. states were also then asked the reasons that they felt they'd had these successes, and the key themes included on this slide were leadership commitment of the governor and or lieutenant governor, legislative support, increased and dedicated funding. Some of the other areas that states noted were high levels of commitment from all players and integration of previously siloed interventions. The other questions we asked were related to some of the barriers that they felt in planning their SIM and non-SIM payment and delivery reform activities. So this slide is focused on just the barriers to planning and where state health agencies felt they had the barriers and what were causing them. So as you can see here, the major barrier was differing perspectives regarding which steps to take in terms of planning. Another major challenge was defining population health, and then the third was not enough resources, although that's very close with the other area. And some of those areas included in the other segment were noted by our participants as political challenges, some turf issues, challenges with payers, and then some issues reaching consensus on integrated model and finalizing approved plans. We asked a similar question for states, but this one was focused on the barriers related to actual implementation of payment and delivery reform activities. And here you'll note that the number one issue was not enough resources, and the second and third major issues were challenges in workforce recruitment and our training, and then differing perspectives regarding which steps to take. We also asked about the community-based prevention initiatives that states were working towards incorporating. So the types of community-based prevention initiatives are noted on this slide that states identified. So we had 16 states that indicated they've incorporated community-based prevention initiatives. So these are among the 16 states actually initiated. Other states mentioned that they anticipated incorporating community-based prevention initiatives. Three noted that they were going to do so by the end of 2014, and another 11 states said that they thought they would do so in 2015 or later. Survey respondents were also asked in a free response question to identify what has prevented their state health agency from incorporating community-based prevention initiatives into payment and delivery reform activities. Some of the key themes that we heard there were that they are currently focused on other areas, such as acute and clinical services, high utilizers, implementing managed care, and patient-centered medical homes. Another answer was they were planning to incorporate these into their design phase of the SIM initiative. The other issues were the final approved activities had not been decided upon. And another one was that public health agency is actually not responsible for payment and delivery initiatives of clinical services. So one of the final questions that we asked was about the future and current technical assistance needs in the state. So we asked, this slide is specific to the future technical assistance needs and what the state felt they needed, but we also asked about what they had currently received, and this was in by the end of 2014. So at the time of the survey, 17 SIM grantees indicated that they had received technical assistance, with the majority indicating that the TA had come from the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation. Some of the other TA providers they did note were the Office of the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology, CDC, the National Governors Association, and then private consultants. Five other states indicated that they received TA for their state's reform initiatives. These were non-SIM states, and this was also provided by CMS, NGA, and private consulting. What this slide also speaks to then is the future TA assistance that the survey respondents indicated what would be useful to them in the future. So you can see the top TA areas right here: governance and financing models for sustained community improvement, understanding how to estimate return on investment, linking clinical care to population health, language and concepts related to various clinical financing models, and data or health information. There were a few other areas that made the list, but these were our top ones. So generally, the technical assistance needs that the survey, they responded to what they thought they needed in terms of what was most useful, what had helped them the most in terms of what they'd actually received for preferred formats. So on-site TA by subject matter expert was the preferred method, peer-to-peer site visits, and then visits to another state with a best practice. Webinars, use of case study materials, conference calls were all lower on the list. So now I'll go into our response to the technical assistance needs that we understood from our state health departments. We try to utilize the survey to focus our areas of work for the next several years that we'll be doing the CDC grant. So we took the information and we tried to turn it into training and other needs that we could identify. So what we've been trying to do through our work is to highlight evidence-based public health interventions that have the potential to impact population health and then achieve cost savings. And we focus this in a couple of different ways through a technical assistance call series, on-site technical assistance sessions, and then some resource development. And I'll talk about all of these in a bit more detail. So our technical assistance call series. So what we did with this, we launched it in January of 2015. It was a four-part payment and delivery reform technical assistance call series. It was open to our membership, but also open to the public. It focused on areas that the survey respondents had identified as the key areas where they felt there were needs. So the call topics included primary care and public health, so linking public health and advanced primary care to improve outcomes, laying the groundwork for economic and budgetary impact analyses, value-based payments, what they are and what it means for public health, and then how to leverage innovations in health information technology. So we had subject matter experts who were on each of these calls. So generally we had some subject matter expert from a national or state subject matter expert, and then we also generally had some of our state health agencies participating in these calls on their own experiences. And they were intended to be pretty open so that they were webinars that they had, so there were presentations and then ample time for Q&A, and we also accepted questions prior to the call so that we could then give those questions to our subject matter experts to try to get those addressed. Some of the other areas that we've worked on providing technical assistance per the survey, we've worked on-site and state-to-state site visits. So the idea is to provide technical assistance on implementation barriers and then working through these solutions and identifying some lessons learned. We're also trying to share the knowledge gained and then the lessons learned from these site visits with other states looking to enact similar policies. One of the other things that we've worked on developing over the past year is our SimWiki space. So we've launched this, I think, in January of 2015. It was developed to share best practices and then materials with our membership from the SIM initiative. So the ASTO team reviewed each of the round one healthcare innovation plans. We organized them around eight different focus areas: prevention and population health, financing population health, transforming clinical care, health disparities, behavioral health, data information technology, workforce, and the community benefits, community health needs assessments, and then another category. So we populated the site with the information from round one. We did the same thing for the round two proposals when they came out in after December. And then what we've also done is curate and track news articles related to SIM and also include posting these on the website. We also have all of the websites for the SIM states that are posted. So we tried to make it a one-stop shop for our membership to access information that they need. This next slide just shows some of the resources that we developed over the last year. So that's our health systems transformation page. We have a Medicaid public health partnership page with more resources on it. And then all of our technical assistance call series materials, they're all recorded and the slides are posted online as well as the recording. Our SimWiki space site is there. And additional webinars that we've done are also on this page. So